us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at Revolution.radio.
Moscow's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your brain is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. Your neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio!
I think of you as a bit of inspiration in my radio career.
You must be some kind of a kook.
Thank you.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
All right, listen up, y'all.
A bunch of a-holes.
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Your systems are offline.
Mario! Mario!
Hashtag's confused, dude.
What time of feeling? I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
I'm not good enough for life.
Central, 403 Mountain, 303 West Coast, 603 East Coast. Good evening, Iceland. Happy Friday, Australia. Somebody got paid today, unless you received paper checks from where I work because of the weather. Your check is delayed. I think I'm going to switch careers to be a meteorologist. There were some meteorologists who predicted that the snow we were supposed to get Tuesday, Wednesday, and today was going to surpass the great blizzard of 1991, known as the Halloween blizzard of 1991 in the great state of Minnesota. That didn't happen. It was windy.
I think maybe a total of a foot fell in the state.
So, I don't know, man. It was crazy. This state just shut down. I'm sure Sam's Club and Costco were full of people just buying this, that, and the other thing, presuming they're going to be locked in their houses for the next 2 weeks. Speaking of winter and snow, it's a very apropos segue into our friends over at Let's Read in 7 True Scary Winter Stories for your listening pleasure on this balmy Thursday evening.
I'd always wanted to go fishing in the winter. Something about the cold and snow along the riverbank seemed so peaceful to me. Only problem was, I couldn't get anyone to come with me. I may be a strong woman, but hiking into the woods alone didn't seem like the brightest idea. But after about a month of trying to convince literally anyone to come with me, I realized going alone was my only option. I kept track of the weather and had a date set in early January. It's our coldest month of the year, but there was about a week where we were supposed to get nothing but sun. Out of the ordinary weather, but I was grateful, and I told my family exactly where I was going and where I'd be parking my car. My mom slipped an AirTag into the bag on my way out the door, and I was off. I parked my car along the side of the main road and followed the trail to the fishing spot a buddy of mine from work told me about. Something felt off, though. My hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I got goosebumps all over my body. I kept getting the feeling someone was watching me, even following me. I had underestimated how deep the snow could be. I thought that since the day before was sunny, most of it may have actually been melted by then. But no, it may have been sunny, but it was still extremely cold, so the snow turned to ice. My feet would break through the top layer of ice and fall into the still powdery snow beneath. I hadn't worn the tallest boots, so a lot was able to make its way into my socks and even begin to soak my feet. I was considering turning around and going back to my car. It seemed like there were red flags going off everywhere. But my mom always tells me to not be so paranoid, so I continued onward. The feeling of someone following me never went away, though. Every now and again throughout the hike, I'd hear a branch snap or snow crunch around me. When I looked around and saw nothing, I tried to just chalk it up to a deer running by or something. The explanations I came up with were to just try to make myself feel better about not turning back when I wasn't so deep into the woods. My feet were almost numb, and my legs were sore when I finally reached the riverbank. I pulled out my gear and changed my socks, thanking my mom in my head for packing me an extra pair. I put on my waders and made my way into the water, grateful that I wasn't getting any more wet than I already was. I stood there for what felt like hours before finally catching a fish. I wasn't planning on keeping any, so I just let it go. It was starting to get dark before I knew it, so I decided to pack up and head back. As I was packing my gear, I heard a grunting sound from across the river. I stood up quickly and took my gun from the holster and looked for the source of the sound. And that's when I saw him. A man, completely naked, standing on a fallen tree across the river, staring at me. I didn't know what to think. I was in complete shock, and I even thought about pinching myself because it felt like some weird dream. I noticed his fingers and toes seemed to be completely black, claimed by what looked to be frostbite. I wondered how he was surviving the cold wearing absolutely nothing, but I guess he wasn't. He stood there, and I swear to God, he was growling, not making any movements. I kneeled down and put the last of my things in my bag and looked back to see what the man was doing. But by that point, he was gone. I started to panic. Was he making his way over to me? I slung my backpack onto my back and kept a firm hold on my gun as I re-entered the woods, back on the trail towards my car. I didn't know what to think. The whole time I was rushing to get out of the forest, I just kept thinking the man was hiding behind every tree that I'd passed by. The hike takes about an hour walking, so I was almost completely sure that I'd be seeing him again. After walking around 20 minutes, I heard the same sounds as before, the branches snapping and the snow crunching. I knew he was out there watching me. I felt like I was about to cry. The fear that I was feeling in that moment was unlike anything I'd ever felt in my life. The sounds of someone following me getting closer and closer. My heart was racing and my breath quickened. I was looking around in every direction until I stopped, terrified. There he was, standing only 10 feet in front of me on the trail. He looked out of breath. There was steam coming off of his nude body as I now stared at him. I raised the gun and told him to leave me alone. But instead of listening, he began to take a step forward. I took a step back and screamed at the man to leave or I would shoot him. The expression on his face never changed. It was like he didn't even know what I was saying. He took another step forward, this time smirking as he did so. I took another step back and gave him one last warning that if he came any closer, I would shoot him. That didn't stop him. Instead, he lunged at me, and I shot. I chose to shoot at his legs. I didn't want to kill the man, just to make it so I could get away and call for help. He stumbled to the ground. He began screaming in pain. I ran by him and screamed as he reached for my legs. I kicked him in the face and he fell unconscious. The tears began to roll down my face as I ran the last bit of the trail back to the main road where my car was parked. I unlocked it and threw all my stuff inside. I put the key in the ignition and was horrified when I realized that it wasn't going to start. The sun was setting. I took out my phone and I began to call 911. They told me it would be at least 30 minutes before an officer could be out there, and that I should lock the doors and stay in the car no matter what. That was already my plan, though. After 10 minutes of waiting and getting more and more paranoid, there he was. The naked man, leaning against a tree on the edge of the forest just in front of my car. I screamed and pointed my gun at him yet again, this time aiming to kill. I didn't want to do it, but I absolutely would. He stumbled his way close to my car and leaned against the hood for support. He began banging his fist against the hood of my car as I screamed. Then he came around the side and screamed loudly at me through the window. Just screamed. And no actual words came out. I was sobbing at this point, begging for him to stop, but he wouldn't. Finally, I saw flashing red and blue lights in the distance, and the naked man obviously saw them too because he limped his way back into the woods and disappeared. The officer parked beside me and asked me what happened, and I spilled my guts, telling them everything. They called for a search team to look for the man, and they followed his trail of blood, but they were never able to find him. I had nightmares for months of the naked man following me wherever I went. Thankfully, they were just nightmares, and I never did see him again. I am sure of one thing, though. I will never go into those woods alone again. I was hitchhiking in the winter, trying to make my way back home after visiting my aunt who lived several hours away. I was in a rush, and my car had broken down unexpectedly, leaving me stranded in the middle of nowhere. Now, for further context, I'm a chubby mid-20s guy, but still was scared to get in the car with a stranger. Like anyone else would be, but it was midwinter and I was grateful that it wasn't snowing. I got out of my car and stood on the edge of the road waiting for someone to come by and hopefully take me home, or as close as I could get. And that's when I saw the headlights of a large truck approaching in the distance. My heart sank. I wasn't sure I was ready to trust a stranger on the road, especially at this time of night. But as the truck got closer, I realized that I didn't have much choice. I threw my thumb out and hoped for the best. The truck actually pulled over, and the driver, a man who looked to be in his mid-50s with a grizzled beard and cold, dead eyes, rolled down the window.
"Where are you headed?"
he asked me with a raspy voice. I told him I was just going a few towns over.
"Hop in,"
he said, pointing to the passenger seat. I hesitated for a moment, but then climbed in, grateful for the warmth. The gratitude didn't last long when I realized the truck was old and smelled musty with a layer of grime coating every surface. The driver pulled out a pack of cigarettes and smoked with the windows rolled completely up. I wasn't a smoker, so I was pretty disgusted. The driver was silent as he drove, and it really began to set in that I was alone in the cab with a stranger who could do anything he wanted to me. The snow was coming down even harder now, and I started to worry about the road conditions. The truck was shaking and rattling, and I could feel my heart racing. I tried to distract myself by asking the driver about his truck, but he didn't seem interested in talking. In fact, he just ignored me completely. After a few minutes of awkward silence, the driver pulled off the main road and the truck suddenly lurched to a stop. I looked out the window and saw that we were in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by miles of fields and rolling hills. "What's going on?" I asked him as I tried to keep the nervousness I was feeling out of my voice. The driver turned to me, his dark eyes shining in the dim light of the cab.
"Don't worry,"
he said with a sly smile.
I just need to make a quick stop. Be right back.
And with that, he got out of the truck and disappeared into the darkness. I was left alone, surrounded by dark, with every small sound scaring me to my core. I tried to stay calm, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. This wasn't a good idea. I wanted to get out and run, but I didn't know how far we were from the nearest town, and I didn't want to be lost out in the middle of nowhere during winter. I didn't even know if any other person would come along that time of night anyway. But after what felt like an eternity, the driver returned, carrying a large, wrapped-up package. He climbed back into the truck, threw it in the back seat, and started the engine, not bothering to explain what he'd been doing. It wasn't technically any of my business, and I certainly wasn't in any sort of position to ask, but I was curious. The rest of the drive was just as silent and uncomfortable as before. I tried to keep my eyes on the road ahead, but I couldn't help but steal a few glances at the driver. His eyes were fixed on the road, his hands tight on the wheel, and his face lacked any kind of expression at all. As the truck continued down the road, it began to snow very hard. It made it harder and harder to even see the road ahead of us. The truck started to skid and slide, and I could feel my heart racing with fear. I closed my eyes and prayed that we would make it to safety. Suddenly, the truck came to a stop, and I opened my eyes. We were in a small clearing, surrounded by trees on all sides. I was about to ask what we were doing, but was cut off by the driver, ordering me out of the truck.
Get out,
he said, his voice harsh and gruff. I hesitated for a moment, but then I realized that I didn't have a choice. I opened the door and stepped out into the snow, feeling the chill seep into my bones. The driver got out as well, and I was really confused.
What are we doing here?
I tried asking, trying to keep my voice as steady as possible.
I need your help,
he said. I looked down at the package that he was holding, and my heart sank. It was wrapped in plastic and seemed to be covered in some type of substance that I could only presume to be blood. I didn't understand what was going on, but I didn't like where that was headed. He was holding a shovel in one hand and a knife in the other. My brain was telling me to run, to get out of there. But when I finally tried, I realized my feet were stuck in the deep snow. The driver caught up to me quickly, and before I knew it, he had me by the neck. I struggled and fought, but I couldn't break from his grip.
Please,
I begged.
Let me go. I won't tell anyone about any of this. I promise.
The driver didn't say a word. He just tightened his grip, and I could feel my consciousness beginning to slip away. Just as I thought I was about to black out, I heard a loud noise in the distance. It was the sound of a car engine, and it was getting closer. The noise must have spooked the driver, because for a split second, I was able to break free. I ran as fast as I could through the heavy snow, not stopping until I reached the road. A car pulled over, and the man in the driver's seat asked if everything was okay. I yelled help me at him as soon as I reached the car. He saw the truck driver chasing after me and told me to get in. I opened the door, jumped in the car, and slammed it behind me. The man who saved me sped off and took me directly towards the police station like I'd asked him to. I got his contact info and went inside. I told the police everything. Unfortunately, I'd not thought to memorize the truck driver's license plate, and they told me that they would do everything they could to look into it, but unfortunately, with how transient some of these truck drivers are, they say the ones that commit crimes tend to get away with it. The last time I checked in with that station, they told me that there was nothing else they could do unless I recognized the truck again and called in the plate number. Thankfully, I never saw the driver of the truck again, but I never forgot the look in his cold, dead eyes. I still have nightmares about that night, and I know that I'll never forget the fear and terror I felt as I was trapped in that snow-covered clearing with a man who I knew was about to end my life. I lived out here alone for the past 10 years, surrounded by fields and forests, with only the occasional neighbor for company. It's a peaceful life, and I love the quiet, but what happened that night 3 years ago shattered whatever peace was left. I was sitting in my living room, watching the snow fall outside through the large bay window in the front room, when my dog barked and ran out of the doggy door. I got up out of my chair as quickly as I could, but I was losing her. I chased after her, but she was fast, and I lost her in the blizzard. I knew she had run over to my neighbor's property like she does often, so I went back to the house and put on my coat and boots and headed out to find her. The walk over was brutal. The wind was crazy and the snow was coming down so hard I could barely see my own hand in front of me. But I pressed on. I was determined to find my dog and bring her back home. This was not the kind of weather that was suitable for a dog, though. When I finally arrived at my neighbor's house, I was exhausted and covered in snow. I knocked on the door, but there was no answer. I thought maybe he was out, so I opened the door and called my dog's name. I didn't know if he'd gone through his doggy door or not, and I figured it wouldn't hurt to peek in for just a second. That's when my neighbor appeared with his shotgun in hand. "What do you want?" he snarled. He was standing so close to me I could smell the alcohol and cigarettes on his breath. "I'm just looking for my dog," I said as I tried to stay calm.
She ran over here during the storm. I thought maybe she came into your house."
"Get out of my house," he said, waving the gun at me. "You're not welcome here." I took a step back as my heart raced.
"Please, man, I just want my dog. I'll leave as soon as I find her."
He spit at me before saying,
"You're not leaving until I say so."
I tried to reason with him, but he wouldn't listen. My dog came running out of the snow, and I grabbed her by her collar and held her next to me. The man continued to hold me at gunpoint. He kept talking about how I was trespassing and how I had no right to be on his property. I started to feel like I was trapped, and I didn't know how to escape. I tried to make a break for it, but he immediately grabbed me by the arm and pulled me back inside. He locked the door behind us, and I realized that I was now completely at his mercy. He kept that gun trained on me as he led me into his living room. I saw my dog cowering in the corner, and I was filled with fear for her safety. I love that dog more than anything else in the world.
"Please, please, sir, let's go. We won't come back here again, I promise. It's an honest mistake."
He just laughed.
"You think I'm stupid? You think I don't know what you're up to?"
I had no idea what he was talking about, but I knew I needed to keep him calm. I started talking to him, trying to find common ground. I told him about my life out here and about how I love the peace and quiet. He didn't seem interested, but also didn't pull the trigger, so I kept talking. Maybe I was distracting him from his own insane thoughts. Somehow, hours passed, and I started to feel hopeful. I was still sitting on the sofa, waiting for him to say something or let us go. Maybe he would let us go after all, I thought. But then, suddenly, he changed. He became violent, screaming and waving the gun
around.
"Whoa,
hang on a sec. Whoa, hang on a second, kids. Wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. What am I trying to do here? Hang on. Jer, call me. I'll pull you in. I haven't talked to you in a while, my friend. Just call me, Jer. You can call me Collect. Oh, for crying out loud. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. I haven't talked to Jer Bear, and as the kids say, a while. We can talk about Bud and whatever else he's doing. Are you doing it now, or what are you doing? What's going on? Hello? Hello? Just waiting for Jer to call me. Just, you know, hanging out, doing non-important stuff. Just waiting for Jer. Is it now? I forgot how to do that. Okay, let me hang up. No, I'm the server's still on. Yeah. All right. I don't even know what's going on. I forgot how to pull him in. Where's that? Where's that? I literally forgot how to do this. I know. Can I join the call now? No, I'm Studio B. What are you screaming at me? See, we're fighting already. Oh, I found the three dots. Hang on a second. Hang on. Let me hang up with you, and then I will, the hell? All right, then add it. This is how things work behind the scenes, everybody. All right, bye. This is how business works behind the scenes, kids. I'm waiting for Jared. Apparently, I'm still staring at a. Speaking of, so this is why I can't chat in the room. I rearranged my computer, and some reason I had to. Here he is. Oh wait, damn it! Hang on. I forgot how to do this. There it is. Now I gotta add him. I gotta add Jer Bear. Yeah. No, I don't want to do that. I just want to add him to the call. Hang on. Okay, now I got it. I got it, kids. I got it. Don't worry. Here we go. I got it. You gonna answer the phone, Jer? There we go.
Oh, good job, brother. Sorry about the.
So what's new there? What's new there, big man?
Hang on, let me turn my tuner on. What's new in Pakistan?
Are you driving?
No, I'm home in my office. Why?
Why does it sound? Why you sound like you're in a tunnel?
Maybe because I don't know why.
Is your mic set to
My mic's.
Is it talk to speak or speak to talk or whatever?
I don't know. Bro.
Do you have to enable your mic every time you talk, or is it always an open mic?
It's a laptop that has the mic and the cam built in on this.
All right, I got you. So what's new? What's new in California? Let's go. We haven't talked in probably 2 months.
What's new? It's snowing here in Vegas.
It's not snowing in Vegas, you liar.
I'm not lying, dude. It's real.
You got snow in Vegas?
Yes, we did. Snow and sleet yesterday. Oh, not a lot, but I'm telling you, it snowed in town. Up in the ski resort, 45 minutes up the road, they got 8 inches over last night.
Really?
I ain't lying.
So in Minnesota, the forecast was we were supposed to get more snow than the 1991 Halloween blizzard, which I think dumped anywhere between 18 and 20 plus inches across the state. I think the most we got, in some places, is a foot, and that's stretching it.
This year?
No, over the last 3 days.
Oh, so you guys are having a storm too. It's right now. It's real cloudy.
That you had moved our direction, moved easterly.
Well, it's still here.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah, it's still. We're supposed to get some more shit tonight. But anyway, your show's been doing that. You're still doing that homeboy, what's his name? The detective or what's his name?
Who's the homeboy?
The guy that you always talk about that you do his shows about.
You play David Politis?
Yeah. What's his name again, slowly?
David Politis?
Yeah. Did you ever get his autograph? You met him, right?
What do you got? Jokes? No, I never sought after David Politis' autograph.
I thought you met him, and that's why you're so.
No. I have been very clear that I as much as I throw David under the bus for making stuff up, I would have a professional conversation with him and ask him some of those tough questions that I think he would just end up hanging up or ignoring me.
Do you remember? Okay, I got you. Do you remember? Did you do a show about those three guys that went to a basketball game when they were from Yuba City?
Yes, that was a story played by the folks over at Bedtime Stories, their YouTube channel.
That's a trip because that's my hometown where I grew up. But I haven't lived there since 1974.
People do think that I forget the details, but once you look into it, it doesn't appear as mysterious as David Paulides and others think it is.
Well, the story about those guys that got tripped out in the snow and they got lost, that was a trippy story, and that was actually a true based story, was it not?
Yeah, no, it's factual, yeah.
The one about but that wasn't David Paulides. I got you. I'm trying to recall. You did that some time back, but it's fresh in my head still because it mentions Yuba City.
I'm fairly certain that David Paulides has mentioned it and has somehow linked it to Missing 411.
I don't know anything about
that. Missing 411 phenomena, Jer-Bear, is from David Paulides, and David Paulides is under the impression that, for whatever reasons, people are going missing in the national forests and parks, specifically near areas that have water or boulders or cherry pickers. And he's not saying it's UFOs or Bigfoot, but he seems
I know what you're talking about. I think is when you see all of a sudden, if you're in a national forest and you see a bunch of people just out of nowhere, they're just there. They came up from downstairs and they're relaxing. They're all like a little vacay.
There are many a times this happened a couple of weeks ago. I was leaving a various grocery store and I noticed a car in my rearview mirror. Waited at a stoplight. Must have been, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds. Looked back, the car was gone. Now, do I think the car disappeared? Maybe. But I think what is more likely is the car just took a right-hand turn. That's what I think happened.
It caught you in the blink of an eye, but it's see you.
There's that phenomenon, and I forget what the word is, but when you're driving long distances or the same route, you sort of remember when you leave and then when you get to your destination, but you don't remember the time in between. Because you've taken it so long, you just sort of unconsciously drive this route. So I went to college in Duluth, and when I would drive home to the Twin Cities, which was anywhere between a 2-hour and 2.5-hour drive, depending on how quickly you drive. But there are many times where I would remember leaving Duluth.
In the time of day to avoid the traffic, et cetera.
Yeah, but there are many times I would leave Duluth and then arrive at home, and I would not remember the in-between time. That doesn't mean I was abducted by aliens and, you know, transported
Did you try to recall, what was I thinking about? Was I dreaming? Was I, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, were you smoking a fatty?
Not right now, I'm not. I'm smoking some tobacco. But I was going to say, when I take my road trips to San Diego or L.A. or going up to Yuba City, that's a 9-hour drive, whether I go up I-5 or Highway 99. And you got to cruise down toward L.A., and then you go up, start going up. So unless you go up to Reno, and then it's still a cruise up to Yuba City. But
how often do you take this 9-hour drive?
I haven't done it in a long time. I'm due. I haven't done it in a few years, probably since 2014.
Now, last time we talked, Jer, you were thinking about renovating your house or selling your house, or what's going on there?
It's in the mix, and basically this is from last May till October. It was a seller's market.
Did you have it on the market?
Yes, I did. I had a couple bids. I have a realtor. Yada yada yada, and then.
Hold on a second. Question for clarification. And I don't want to know other than yes or no, but the two bids that you received, were they close to your asking price or were they so low they were insulting?
No, they were good. They were acceptable. And but what happened is, it just it all of a sudden when this was going to happen, the market bump, the market changed to, the market changed to a seller's. It's not a seller's market no more. It became a buyer's market in October. So I said, damn. So I've got with my realtor with this group called NACA, N-A-C-A. And they helped, and I went to the class, and they helped people get a home, first-time buyers, get a mortgage and everything. But they also have a plan. The reason I went is because I already own my home, but I could refi for a cheaper price and get an added to the loan to remodel the house that needs to be upgraded. So that's, I'm in the mix of, and it's a little bit of a time procedure, and I still got to go back up to Jones Road and west part of town and talk to them face to face, because I get lost in their website and I just, and I told them, I said, I can't get in with my code number and shit. So she said, just come on up. And I haven't done that yet. And it's always something. It's always something. You know what I'm saying? When you own a home. I don't know if you own a home.
I've owned several homes, and there's always, like I tell people, first, there's always something to do. Secondly, you can budget for your mortgage, but you cannot budget for everything else that goes wrong.
And as of late, I don't know, but I know that my running partner, Darren, and a few other people on the network, we've talked, and even some of my friends that are in Southern Cal, they're screaming about the electricity, the gas bill, the electricity, the utilities. Bam, they've all just inflated on us big time, and it makes it rough on us people just on a pension and on SSI. Retarded. It makes it rough on everybody that's middle class. This country's been sucked up by bullshit Democrats that are listening to the elite. And now Trump's making some noise with going into he went into East Palestine, the city.
Yep.
And he's the first one in there, and the Democrats and the Biden administration totally ignoring it, because they know they're going to get drove. They're going to get drove like a big dog, because they're paying too much attention to Ukraine, and they should leave Hitler. They should leave President Biden alone. Leave him alone. That's this country's. But they got those labs over there. We've got labs over there. All kinds of, they're holding back so much shit. It's sad. Bastards.
Jer, I see you got the after hours program Saturday morning on Studio A from 4 a.m. until 9 a.m. Eastern time. That's 10 a.m. That, is that yes, six? You're on the air for 6 hours?
Yes, I am. I do. And then the following night, all weekend a.m.s, I end up doing 6 hour show, and then Sunday morning I do a 5 hour show.
Do you do for 6 hours?
I've been doing it for years. You have to pay attention. I don't know. I just go up on a. I just do things on the fly, and I get compliments, and sometimes I'm a little flat, and I just take an early out.
Yep.
If I'm
more
not
time to talk.
I carry on pretty good. I've been
doing it
for 10 years now.
About 25 or so years ago, I had a legitimate overnight talk show on an AM radio station, and I was on from midnight till 5:30 in the morning.
What is that middle central time?
Yes. So this station reached as far as, I got a call once from Texas. But it travels differently in the summertime. Anyway, and at night, because of lowering antennas and all that stuff. But that's a long time to talk, man. That's a long time.
I've been doing it. I'll get into some videos and play them.
Yeah.
And get some. I'll get some comments from the chat room. I pay attention to the chat room, and sometimes it's dead in there. Sometimes it's not. Usually people come around and say, "Jer, glad to hear you. Glad you're here." You know, that's a good feeling. But I don't try to get my head swelled up. And I've got Warren that calls in, and he's a good old guy down in Phoenix. And
yeah.
my running partner, Darren, that's from Iowa. Yeah, he's from Iowa. And then others call in, you know, just who's ever in the mix. Comet.
Yep.
I've known Comet a long time. He's one of the longest guys I've known around here. Besides, there's a lot of people I've known. And I think I hold the record of meeting the most people related to Revolution Radio, because I went to Hawk's Nest two times and I met a lot of people. I almost met Rectify when I met Mr. Rowe. And
you met Mr. Rowe, my favorite talk show host?
I guess so. Yes,
I
did.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
In his own mind.
For some reason, I think he's about 5'2".
He's a legend in his own mind.
Whoa. We don't fire shots on this program.
Why?
Now, I think... I'm not going to say anything.
Say something.
No. I'm not going to disparage over. I'm not going to cut at the knees of other hosts on Studio A or B.
What's that?
I'm not going to take shots at people.
I just said, Mr. Rowe, what did I say? Mr. Rowe's
So he's less in his own mind.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Is it? Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it is. If you're a legend in your mind, do you express it? I would imagine you would, wouldn't you?
I don't.
You would just suck your thumb and say, it's exciting. It's exciting. No,
Pat Rabbit is my favorite chatter, and Mr. Rowe is my favorite host.
Well, that's your problem.
Why? How's that a problem? It's not a problem.
I'm just messing with you.
Pat, you are still the first person. I mean, I'm sorry, Jerry, you're the first person on my very first show. You Skype called me, and I commented on how dirty your office space was and how you should clean that because it's a fire hazard. Have you taken care of that yet?
Almost certainly.
Almost certainly does not mean yes.
Well, certainly.
You got to clean that place up. Get the fire marshal in there and shut you down.
When donkeys fly.
What's that?
When donkeys fly. I got everything. I'm surrounded by everything that it's...
Let me ask you this, Jer. Do you want to move, or are you happy staying in your house? It sounds like you're happy staying in your house.
I want to go back to... I want to get out of cement jungle. But since... And I just didn't do it. Maybe it didn't have the right timing. I don't know what's going to happen.
Where does Pat Rabbit live in one of the Virginias? Where does he live?
Pat Rabbit lives down south in Mississippi or Louisiana.
Pat, where do you live? What state?
I just told you. It's either Louisiana. He lives in Louisiana.
Does he?
With where Bo Bear used to live, where Sergeant Miller lives. Where?
Well, who lives in the Virginia? Somebody lives in the Virginias.
That's Mitchell.
Oh, that's so Mitch lives in one of the Virginias.
With Mitch, okay. Lives in Roanoke, Virginia.
That's in the Bayou in South Louisiana. You should go move to the Bayou.
Who
get
said
yourself
that?
Some crawdads and an alligator.
I used to eat all that stuff when I worked at the Shobo Buffet. We had everything, all kinds
you
of
know what?
South food, because we had. I worked with the brothers. I worked
you know
with
what?
The brothers.
I've never had alligator, but I'd like to try some.
Oh shit! You can order. There's a buffet here in town called the Bellagio Hotel. Big old, the one that has the big fountains.
I'm not going to order.
Listen, can I finish, please?
I'm not going to a place where the food isn't native.
I'm telling you, you don't understand what they do at these buffets today. They cook the the last time I went was like $40, and that was like over 10 years ago to the Bellagio. That was expensive. And when you got in there, it had everything. And then it had Carver. It had a Carver. It had these guys that.
I've been to buffets before.
And then they have these guys that served you like rattlesnake.
Snake oil?
Buffalo stuff. You know, stuff that's exotic that you could eat on this buffet.
You know what that else is exotic in Las Vegas?
That'd be 15 years ago.
You know what else is exotic in Las Vegas?
Was
Ladies of the Night.
Not anymore. They've been kicked out.
They've been leaving.
Been the road.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no more Ladies of the Night in Vegas?
It's illegal to it's illegal in Clark County to, but you go up the road, you could get.
That's what, I'm not saying your county. I'm saying another legal county.
You have to go up to Trump.
How many counties are there in Las Vegas? I'm sorry, in Nevada.
I don't know. I have no clue. But
do more counties? Do a majority of the counties have legalized prostitution in Nevada?
No, but only about three of them, maybe three of them.
Really? I thought more than that had legal Ladies of the Night.
I think there's about three or four counties at the most. Reno has one up by Reno. And then did you come down 95, there's a couple, like, drove by one a couple times. I was going to go check it out, but it was quiet. It was out in the boonies, too.
Well, as Pat said, Ladies of the Day.
But I've been by the... I went to one time with my friend. He was supposed to pay my way.
Oh.
And it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And we went in there. And
last
and
week? Lady,
huh?
Was this last week?
I said it was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And he was going to buy me because he owed me some money. So we went in there, and the madam comes out and goes, "We got to go through this cage, and then it's a whole bunch of trailers." And in there, and the madam goes, she's an older lady. She goes, "Ladies, we have company."
Mm.
And 12 chicks come out.
Yeah.
And stay in front of us. We're on the couch. Mm-hmm. "Which one do you want?" I said, "I'll take that one."
Yeah.
Steve says, "I'll take that one." "Okay, thank you, ladies." The rest go. So we start to go. I said, "Steve, give me the money."
Mm.
And he's playing shit with me. I said, "Give me the money." And we're trying to go back through this array of trailers where they're back to their rooms.
Yep.
I said, "God damn it. You made an ass out of me."
Mm-hmm.
"You made an ass out of me because we walked out." I slapped him his face around, but.
But the question is, did he eventually give you the money or no?
No, he never did.
Pay for sex, Jer Bear.
He owed me money. I took him up there to have some fun. God damn, don't be so critical on me.
I'm not being critical. It's a suggestion. You should save that money for a rainy day.
Forget about it. I opened up to you, so forget about it.
Jer, I love it when you try to get upset with me because it doesn't work.
So what? What do you want me to do?
So we got 6 minutes. What else is going on?
You tell me.
I don't know.
What have you been doing?
Hanging out?
How many people did you get when you had your radio show? How many listeners did you get on? Delta. Alta. Whatever is that? Where they test your... where they test... It used to be Alta, or it started with an A. Alex, or the
arbitration?
No, it's just a website that has everybody's. I used to go in there, but I can't remember the name. Revolution Radio used to be in there, and they used to tell who the audience listeners were, their average age, over 40.
I got no idea.
I'm just messing with you. I'm picking your brain.
I got no clue. I will do this program if it's one person or 40.
So what?
Hey, Jer Bear, just so you know, Darren, Darren Martin sent me a message, and he says he is on your program sometimes.
Who's Darren?
He just sent me a message on Skype. Darren Martin.
Oh,
he wrote, I'm on with Jer sometimes.
Do you know him?
He just messaged me and said he's on with you sometimes.
How did he know your Skype?
I don't know. He just found me.
That's a trip. That's my buddy. Yeah, he's a good dude. He's from Iowa, I just told you. He's my new guy that rides shotgun, and we carry on all night. Gotta have some. Yeah, so God bless Darren if he's listening.
He should be your co-host.
Well, I try. He is right now.
All right. What are you screaming at me for? It's like we're a married couple, man. You're yelling at me all the time.
Maybe you should straighten your ass up.
Maybe you should straighten your ass out. You hear that? You hear that, Pat? You hear that, Pat? You see how I'm being treated by Jer Bear?
Ah!
You hear that? Did you try to Skype call me this morning at 8 o'clock?
No.
No. So I got a missed call from Jer Bear at 8:18 a.m.
Bullshit.
What?
At 8 o'clock your time, that would have been 6 o'clock my time.
Maybe you butt-dialed me by accident.
Did you get out? I don't play reindeer games.
No, it means when you put your cell phone in your back pocket and you sit down and it dials a number.
I don't use my cell phone.
Listen, you spent too much time in the brothels in Clark County or wherever you are.
False accusations. Well, I'm going to call my attorney.
You can call whoever you want to. Listen, we got about 2 minutes. What else do you want to share?
Why are you trying to drive me like an 18-wheeler? You ain't got no permit or driver's license to drive a big wheeler.
How do you know I don't have an endorsement? What are you calling yourself an 18-wheeler for?
I said you trying to drive me like an 18-wheeler.
I don't have an endorsement. I don't have a CDL endorsement.
It's a phrase that means you're trying to cap on me, big dog.
Some of these words that you folks out in Vegas use, I don't understand.
I have my own, but that's right. That's right, because you're behind the times. So why don't you get it into the books and study long, study wrong?
What?
Get into the books, study long, study wrong.
Man alive. All right, Pat, Jer, we got 2 minutes. Why don't you plug your program? When is your show on? What mornings? What time? Come on.
I come on at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning, at 4 a.m. at Sunday morning.
Yep. Well,
after hours.
Yep.
You get a line and I'll get a pole, honey.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. I'm going to let you go. I got to plug the station. We got to head over to Sasquatch Chronicles next hour.
Who's that?
Wes over at Sasquatch Chronicles.
Are you going to continue the next hour?
Yes, I'm going to continue the next hour, but I can't, not with a guest.
Oh, are you going to play some Rupert Battle?
No. I got to go. But listen, we can do this again on Monday.
Oh, just get out. I'm not around on Monday.
Where are you?
I usually crash and burn.
All right.
Listen, thanks, Mario, for bringing me in. You have a good day. Your show's been doing good. I haven't been able to catch it in some time, but I was there today, and then you invited me in and saw me in the chat room. Much love to you, and God bless you, man. It's all good.
You're the best, Jer. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, people. Hey, Skate, donate.
There he is, Jer Bear. Check his show, After Hours, Studio A, Saturday and Sunday morning, early. And for some reason, Jer is still sitting in the room.
Did you leave? No, I'm trying to get back. I'm looking at the chat room, and I'm trying to get back into Skype to hang up. Sorry.
Are you going to leave?
Bill Martin sent me a message.
Are you going to leave?
He said to add you. He said to add us into the show.
Who?
Darren wants to come into the show.
Well, we'll do it next hour. We got to take the break, though.
Well, I can do it now. He won't say nothing. I'll stick around then. All right.
Adam, now we'll just take the break. Just mute yourself. I don't know what's going on. Darren's visiting us next. I don't know what's going on.
We'll be right back. Thanks, Mario.
Thanks.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
The invasion.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down and...
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on The Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
The
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right, kids, welcome back to This, That, and the Other on this balmy Thursday evening from the great state of Minnesota. Change of plan. Apparently, Jer Bear is sticking with me. Darren Martin is here, who is the co-host, last time I checked and last time Jer Bear told me, of After Hours, an award-winning program that takes place early Saturday and Sunday morning on Studio A. Jer, are you here?
Yes. Can I do me a favor? I went to answer Darren's message, and you need to, in our chat here, if you're listening, say hi so I can get back into the call, because
you're in the call.
I know I am, but I, god damn it, say hi in our chat where it's over to the right so I can get back in the call. I'm not on the, I am live, but I'm not in.
What?
Can you the chat room that's with the server. Can you open the chat room and say hi?
Darren just wrote hi.
I want you to. I don't see it.
I just wrote hi.
Shit, I don't see it.
Well, I don't know. You're in the chat.
I know, but you see, if I'm by myself, I don't answer other people's calls. Unless I have Sergeant Miller, he knows what to do. Sergeant, give me back in. I bump. Darren, are you on the call?
Hey, Garrett, good to hear you, man.
Darren, say something in chat so I can get back in the call. Our chat, not the chat room, the chat here, where it's me, you, and Mario in the server.
Jer, you're in the call. We don't need to say anything.
I don't see it, and I can't. You don't listen. Would you do that for me, Darren? God damn it. Fucking making me pissed.
The Keystone Cops.
I sent you a message in your private, Mario, and you just.
I know. Darren just wrote howdy in the chat we're in right now.
Shit. I'm trying to find it. Usually I can find it right away, and I just can't
anyway,
find
Darren,
it.
Darren, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having us on the air. It's nice to meet you.
You too. Jer, you're the best, man. Jer, are you okay?
I'm shutting up.
No, just talk. You're in the call.
I know, but it isn't. I don't feel right.
Well,
Sergeant Miller, jump in the call and do what I ask. Oh, I don't know why I don't see it. I usually pick it right up.
I don't know I have no idea what you're talking about. All I know is on my screen right now, I see three boxes, you, Darren, and myself.
Okay.
Four boxes. Me, you, Darren, and then
drop me from the call.
Why am I dropping you from the call? You're in the call.
Drop me from the call so I can come back and see this call. Darren, drop me from the call and call me back, please. God damn it. You're wasting time, and I'm trying to give you a procedure that covers our ass.
Okay.
You don't learn. You don't learn. You don't listen.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Hang me up. It's just that you can't do what I ask. Drop me from the call and just get me rid of me.
Okay, I'm removing you from the call right now. There. He's gone from the call. Darren, do you want to add him back in now?
Well, yeah, you got to love Jer, man.
I mean, he's getting a little too excited. Do you want to add Jer back to the call or?
Let's see if I know how to do it. I'm kind of new with Skype.
That's all right. I mean, I can do it if you don't want to.
Could you please? I'm really I'd hate to.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll add him. I'll add him. Hang on. Let me Let me find them. Let me okay, here. Okay, now he's gosh.
So where are you at, Mary? What state?
Jer just got completely pissed at me. Because when he calls, I don't let him in. I just answer it, but I'm gonna add him in now, so he's gonna freak out now. Hopefully this pulls him in. Oh, come on. Why isn't
I've got Spurs that jingle.
And oh, there you are.
See, now I thought a comment was on the call. Yeah, here I am now.
There you are. Okay.
You always pay attention to that chat room over there. Let me see if you wrote anything. It says add people. It says Jer. Hi. I didn't see that.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know what your problem is. When we talked, I don't know, 6 months ago, you talked about how you had to update your Skype and you hadn't done it in years.
Yeah, I do have it now. I have Windows 11 now on there. Suck a wolf.
Okay,
I did upgrade. Suck a wolf.
I mean, to be honest, I wish there was another way we could do this and not use Skype, because Skype is a little frustrating at times.
Yeah, I got, like, I did a Zoom call, and it was a trip because it's a little bit different, but it seemed like it was all right. But there's something, I guess, with from the staff, from what the staff has told me, that it's better off where we're at with Skype, and we're just glad to be on the air. God bless us all. Darren, how you doing, Beth?
I'm really good, Gare. It's like springtime here. It's life is good.
Where are you?
Illinois.
Oh, well, I said you're in Iowa.
My bad. It's close enough.
Yeah, it's close.
Right. Wait till you get to be 56.
Where are you at, Mario? What state?
Minnesota.
All right.
He's in the big cities. I'm in the little cities. Well, I grew up.
You're in the big city. I don't live in the Twin Cities.
Well, you mentioned
I don't like big city folks. I like trees and water.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've lived in the Twin Cities area for maybe 5 years. The rest of the time we're in small towns.
I grew up in the little Twin Cities. It was called Marysville, Yuba City, California, Northern Cal.
They called the little Twin Cities.
Yeah, they call the little Twin Cities.
Did they?
Yes, they did. I just said that, or I wouldn't say it.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I think you make things up when you talk to me.
Oh, I'm legit.
We're like an old married couple, Jer.
You know,
last time
I was through Minneapolis, St. Paul, man, it seems like a really thriving area. There's a lot going on there.
There's always something to do in the cities. I mean, you're never bored. But I don't like being stacked on top of each other like sardines, and I like a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of commerce going on up there, a lot of money moving around.
I mean, there's the cities. Look, I'll tell you this: the Twin Cities. I'll say this: Minnesota is probably one of the better states when it comes to summer activities. I mean, we have a lot of trails, a lot of biking paths. We got, you know, the renamed lakes, whatever they're called now, down in the Minneapolis area. So it's a great place. It's a great place in the fall. We've got in northern Minnesota, there's the Paul Bunyan Trail that goes from, at minimum, Brainerd, Minnesota, up to Bemidji, and that's about a 90-mile trek. So in the wintertime, you got sleds and stuff on there. In the summertime, people ride their bikes and run and all that stuff. So
yeah, do they they have a lot of lakes in Minnesota, correct? Isn't it the land of 10,000 lakes?
Land of 10,000 plus lakes. We've got probably closer to.
When they made that movie with John Candy and up there with the bear and shit.
We've talked about this, Jer. They claim the movie was made in Wisconsin. It was actually filmed in California.
I know that. But, God, you spoil it. But I imagine it before I found that fact that you just mentioned.
If you want to – listen, you go watch Grumpier Old Men. That was legitimately filmed in Minnesota.
I'm just saying, that's always reminds me of that when we talk about Minnesota, that that's the Thousand Lakes.
Yep.
And I imagine that that's where the movie was, and that's my imagination. Yes, I know it was filmed in Sierra Nevadas.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Prairie Home Companion on NPR. Wasn't that out of Minnesota somewhere?
Yep, Garrison Keillor, born and raised. He doesn't do that anymore because he was during the whole cancel culture movement, I guess, which is still going on. He was accused of sexual harassment, and I think he just ended up ending it. And I don't know if he still has a house in St. Paul, but I think he's got a house in St. Paul. He's got a house out east somewhere.
Yeah, he had such a folksy quality about him. It's hard to believe he was some kind of predator or something, you know.
I don't know the details. I just know that that's apparently what happened.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I actually used to listen to that sometimes. You know.
Was Laverne and Shirley filmed in, I mean, was it about Minnesota?
What?
The series Laverne and Shirley? She just died, Shirley.
Mary Tyler Moore was based in Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
One of the exterior shots.
You remember Laverne and Shirley?
Yeah, but I don't think that was in Minnesota. That may have been Michigan or something.
Yeah, Minnesota's known for Vikings, right? Like
yes,
yep.
The team that has been to but never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I mean the people are from what would that be, like the Netherlands, Sweden? What is that? Norway?
Yeah.
The Nordics. Excuse me.
Yep.
And I think that Prairie Home Companion guy used to talk about Lutherans all the time. Always referencing Lutherans.
Yes.
I got a question.
A large Lutheran population in northern Minnesota. Well, and here's the reason why, and it might make sense, is because northern Minnesota, the topography was similar to Norway and Sweden. Because we have the Mississippi, and a lot of those immigrants worked in the timber clearing industry, you know, and then traveled on the logs down the mighty Mississippi River. So, but the topography and the geography of northern Minnesota was similar to what they were accustomed to. So
they created their trades and they developed.
Yes.
There's a up in northern California along above Reno, close to the Nevada border, is a bunch of these guys came in from Minnesota and they took it over and they started growing a lot of cannabis up there. And they really, it's weird, like they're two, there's a lot of bitching about them, how they kind of like took over this area of and built a big cannabis space of a bunch of places up there making money, that I did a show on sometime back that tripped me out. And they're from Minnesota and they're called, I can't remember the name of them, but, it was amazing that these guys come in and just kind of like plotted in a community of them, a bunch of them. It just ain't no couple families. It's like a little, trip me out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you come over and you all speak the same language, it's much easier just to co-mingle and settle in certain areas together.
Well, that's what you say. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of mail order stuff out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, like internet shopping, big warehouses.
So QVC used to be housed. The main warehouse, the main branch, was somewhere in the Twin Cities, and then they eventually went out east to wherever they are now. I think Mayflower was fairly big too.
Yeah, when I first got on the internet, I was buying stuff. I still go there to Sportsman's Guide.
Yep.
And I think they're up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul. But
I forgot to mention that Rabbit got mad. He said, get Jerbear off the line so he can listen to you do your gig.
Whoa!
He said that. He said, get Jerbear off the... Get, drop him in the chat.
Whoa!
Yeah,
Pat, I promise Monday, Sasquatch Chronicles.
It says here, use the remove from call, Mario. But Jer can't leave. He can hit the hang up button. I want to hear Sasquatch Chronicles.
Whoa.
Well, struggle, you snooze, you lose.
Wow. Look, shots fired. Pat doesn't mean anything. He's a good guy.
Oh, I'm not sniveling. I'm just mentioning it that he should bring it, make sure you don't lose that Sasquatch Chronicles.
No,
Is that the one you were going to do about Sasquatch Chronicles?
I emailed Wes about 3 weeks ago, but he has yet to get back to me because I want to have him on the program. I want to ask him questions about these people he interviews.
Who's that?
Wes, who runs Sasquatch Chronicles.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you, does he do it, does he study the Sasquatch, not just in your state, but other areas, I guess?
Right? As far as I know, most of the guests that he has on are people who just submit their stories, they email their stories to him, and he probably does a pre-interview and then has them on the program and lets them go. It would be like if I called you, Jer, and said, talk to me about your cannabis history, and you go on for 45 minutes about it.
Oh, I'd listen to your questions and try to answer them the best way I could.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not. You know,
no, I'm just
not
saying
busting your balls, man. I'm just telling.
I have somebody call in, like Darren calls in, and we kind of ask each other questions about the ifs and the fifths of what.
But here's the deal: when I ask you questions, Jerry, you get mad at me.
Well, what's your sign? What's your horoscope?
Aquarius.
That's the problem.
What's your sign?
I'm Zodiac Killer.
Okay, see? That's.
No, I'm Cancerian.
Jer, do you want to hear a funny story?
Cancerian, Jer.
There was a woman once that I was interested in, and she said she cannot date me because we are both Aquarians.
My dad was an Aquarius.
But he was a nice guy.
Was a chump.
You call your dad a chump? Anyway, I want to know about Darren. Darren, was your dad a chump?
Oh, he was kind of a clown, you know.
See? Better than a chump.
Darren had a sharp father. He had some wit with him. My dad did too, but he was kind of a chump growing up. He was too militant. But once I graduated and left the house, he was like, don't think you can come in my house and drink when you go back to college. I came back for Thanksgiving. I've been gone down in Southern Cal. Came up for Thanksgiving and pulled up with my two friends. One had long hair down to his middle of his back. The other was a Jew. Mm-hmm. We pulled into the house and my dad opens up the door. Hey, come on in. You guys want a beer? I said, no. My friends had one, but I didn't. But see how he changes? Don't think you come out and drink because you do. I know you drink.
Parents change once the kids move out of the house.
I guess so.
Darren, how long have you been in Iowa? Or Illinois. Sorry.
I was born here, but I've lived in Colorado. I've lived in Florida. I've traveled quite a bit. But there's something
Did family or work bring you back to Illinois?
Probably family and familiarity.
Yeah. Did you like Florida?
Florida's too crowded, man. The traffic's intense. The summers are brutal. There's a lot of work, which is always good. But, I like riding motorcycles. I think the old people in Florida run motorcycles down quite a bit. You know, they don't see them or something. It's a good time to be in talk radio, to be in a place where you can discuss current events. And a lot of people have been moving to Florida and Texas because they perceive it as a conservative state. Right. And I think they're prime targets if we ever have a nuclear attack, Florida and Texas, man, because we got a lot of military bases in Florida and Texas.
Yeah.
And that would draw the attention of anybody pointing those nukes. So I'm going to stay away from Florida.
Did you like Colorado?
Love Colorado. Absolutely love Colorado.
I pay attention to the 49ers. There's one guy that broadcasts all about it on named Grant Cohn. And he just, since the NFL, he does the NFL, he does the 49ers. And so he, since the season just ended, he took his wife down to Miami. And so he did his, he did some, live casts, whatever you call them, down there by himself. I'm out here in Miami and the weather is superb. He says it's beautiful weather. And that he got a tan. He just chilled out. He just said it was beautiful. And I guess it's the humidity was just right and so forth. But I would think Miami, or I've kind of believed him. And I know a couple of people down there, but I've never been down there. But I just wondered, you know, if that's got any, he put some truth on it.
Well, Florida doesn't have a state income tax on income. You know, a lot of people retire there for that reason. Like when OJ got sued from the Goldman family and he was trying to protect his estate so they couldn't take all his loot, he went to Florida. Because Florida's got a lot of laws in place to let you preserve your wealth. So that's why it's such a draw for older people.
I imagine Florida is like South Dakota that doesn't have state income tax, and they make up for it by high property taxes, or how do they make up for it?
That's probably it. I don't know exactly. I know they don't have a state income tax.
Yeah.
We don't have it either here.
That's another draw to Nevada, yeah.
Yeah, that's brought a lot of people. That's why when I first got here in 77, there was only 200,000 people, this whole valley. Now there's like 3 million. So that's like 45 years this town has grown from 200,000 to 3 million. It's a trip.
Now, my dad, when he retired, him and his wife, they spent, I think, 6 or 9 months in Costa Rica, and then they moved to Palm Coast, Florida. And I went down there a couple times. I mean, I thought it was nice. But I don't really know if I would have wanted to live in Florida.
Did you go down there? And did you ever go down?
Yeah, I've been to Palm Coast. I've been to South Beach. I've been to.
Where's Palm Coast? Is that on the side of where Port?
I got no clue. All I knew, Jer, is that we flew into Daytona. We flew into Daytona.
Daytona.
And Palm Coast is about 45 minutes from Daytona. 45 minutes
it's north. It's up by the Georgia border. I mean, not Georgia. Yeah, it's up on the state line. It's up above Nassau. Where
I've been to Pensacola.
Did you recall Cape Canaveral?
No.
But you were on the Atlantic side, right?
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. I was just, you know, happy to be somewhere where it wasn't cold. Then I went in the ocean, even though it was somewhat chilly.
You went to the beach, right? You went to the beach?
Yep. We stayed at a hotel on the beach, and I went into the ocean, even though it was a little chilly, but I didn't care.
So I guess the waves come bigger on the Atlantic side than the other side, the Gulf of Mexico side of Florida. I'm just trying to imagine where. I'll have to just look it up. What's the name of it? Called what?
Palm Coast.
Palm Coast. Okay.
Palm Coast.
Look it up. Tell them.
Where did you live when you were in Florida, Darren?
I lived briefly in Daytona, and I lived for a while in Clearwater.
Okay.
Over on the Gulf Coast.
All right.
Yeah, I got to experience a hurricane. That was kind of neat, you know, kind of different.
Ooh, to talk about that. How was that?
The situation was, it was back before the internet. This was back in the 80s. And I got in the paper, and there was an ad for somebody renting a bedroom. So we shared a house, and the lady that owned the house, she was from Germany. She was real cute. And she had one bedroom, and then there was another guy. It was a big monster, just a big pirate looking guy. He drove a cab for a living. And then there was me in the other bedroom, And when the hurricane hit, she was all like panic stricken and didn't want me to leave the house. And I think I was 18 years old, so I was able to drink. And up to that point in Illinois, I hadn't been able to drink. So living in Florida, your drinking age was 18. And so I just spent the whole time just swilling hooch, man.
Oh.
Waiting for the weather.
What was your favorite libation?
Just beer and wine. That's all I could buy. And I drank it like a sailor. I just, when you're 18 years old, it was like discovering candy or something. I could walk into a store and buy it legally. It was just so. Moderation is the civilized and reasonable thing for a person to practice. But like I said, I was 18 and I wasn't as civilized as I might otherwise have been.
Thinking like I'm King Shit. If I could go, I can get some booze and shit. I'm King Shit of Turn Island. You know, you got to get a big head when you got like going to Arizona when I was like 19. I went to see some friends. I was 19, and I said, "Jerk, go buy some beer." I said, "I'm not 21." He said, "You don't have to be 21 here. It's 19." So that was a trip. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, living in Illinois, it was always like. You just weren't able to do that. You have to find somebody's brother or sister that was old enough, and they'd have to get it for you, and it was a big ordeal. And so I'm down there, and they had like laundromats with bars next door, or laundromats with liquor stores attached to them, and you could just swill that stuff like it's going out of style. And I did anyway. And then I'd work in the summer heat all day. That wasn't that copacetic, man, to drink all night and work all day like a slave. But I did it. You know, when you're 18, you can get away with that.
Hell yeah. You're vigorous. Daytona's on the Atlantic coast where you flew into. And that city that you just mentioned, Palm Falls, is close by it. So that's where it is. Palm Coast. It's right. And Daytona's way above Miami. So
yeah, I remember once in Daytona, I was walking home from work and it was just hot, man, sweaty and hot. And I sat under a little tree and lit a cigarette and I felt something on my shoulder and I looked, turned my head, and there was a lizard that had hopped onto my shoulder and it had one of them like a bag, like a sack that would come out from under its neck, like a big inflatable ball, like womp, womp. And it just froze me, man. I mean, I never seen nothing like that. And it was sitting on my shoulder like a parrot. And, you know, so Florida's different like that. You know, they got those great big palmetto bugs, about as big as a mouse, you know. It's like a roach. It's like a giant roach. They call them palmetto bugs. Got those chameleons, little lizards skulking around. Yeah. Like
they change color?
Yeah, they change color. And then I think these days they got a big issue with pythons and iguanas that people have turned loose in the Everglades and such. And that they're kind of thriving, you know. They've kind of taken over the ecosystem down there. So, okay. Yeah, I haven't been there in years. But it's changed quite a bit.
To build Disneyland, Disney World down there and stuff, they had to elevate or build like a little levee around that area to keep the water from Everglades. They did something. And Disneyland in Anaheim is built that there's underground ways all around it. And then they got Disneyland in L.A., Anaheim. But the one in Florida, they built it like all of it's on a second floor outside, and they had to build the first floor because they didn't go underground there. They built it on like level all the underground areas so they could get around to each parts of the park, and then they built, that's a trip how they must have. Walt Disney had some bank, brother, but that's a trip how the difference is being in the Everglades and what he did. And he bought a lot of land down there before he got, he was smart, that sucking Disney, man. He sucker wolfed a lot of people, but a little bit of history. I'll shut up.
Yeah, I've never been to Disney World or Disneyland, never been there. And knowing what I know now, I wouldn't give those people a dime, you know, what they represent and what they're about, man. I wouldn't spend any shekels on Disney.
I used to get into when I was a kid to go all the Disney movies, and I got to go to Disneyland in 1967, and we drove down there from Sacramento, and me and my two brothers, my mom and my older brother just graduated high school, so, you know, they get crazy on when people graduate high school. It's like a party down in Disneyland, but my mom took us in the daytime, and I got into it, you know. You get into it when you're that young and shit. Then you grow up and you...
Giant talking mice and dogs you know, walking around, shaking hands with them, I guess, you know.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse came up to us, me and my brother Tony, and my mom had bought us some those hats that had the ears, the Mickey Mouse hats, and it had his name on it. And Mickey's going, "Hi, Tony. How you doing, Tony?" I said, "How does he know your name, Tony? How does he know that?" And he had the hat on, but it was a trip. You know, when you're young and you go to Disneyland and still believe like Santa, well, not so much Santa Claus, but all that fantasy, it's a turn on, I think, for most kids that have a little imagination like I did.
You know, it's probably been 20 years ago, 25 years ago, they built a Euro Disney. And when that opened up in Europe, wherever it is, it just didn't catch on. I don't know if it has since then. I remember when they kicked it off, the Europeans didn't embrace that.
I think it's in France. The country's, I think that's the place. They got one in Japan, too, I think, that kicks ass. You know, but Mario's show, I better shut up.
No, I'm just sitting here listening to it. I've never been to either Disneyland or Disney World, and I forget which one is in Hollywood and which one is in Florida and which one is in California.
Disneyland is in Anaheim, California, and Disney World is in Florida.
Oh, I've never been, and I have really no desire to go.
My friend's son just went, and he has some pictures from – he went to the Florida. He had these pictures from it. And and this stuff's not fake. These were real big old palm trees and shit's all carved out. It's pretty bitching to see how it was more tropical than, well, Disneyland is pretty tropical the way they make it in L.A., but I guess that Disney World is a trip. And it's expensive now, both of them. They're not cheap to get in there.
Arguably, you live in kind of the adult Disney World being in Vegas, Gare. I mean.
Well, that's another story. Mario don't want to hear about it. He just wants to hear about it.
I want to hear about.
The hookers.
Because you like the ladies of the night.
I don't go out. Those days are way behind me. Go cat.
I just want to know if your friend ever paid you the money that he owed you.
What's that?
Did your friend ever pay you the money that he owed you?
No, he didn't, I told you.
Okay, well, I didn't know. I'm just asking.
I took it out on some other way, baby, but no.
What does that mean?
I got it some way from him.
Oh.
So I sold him some weed and I kept the weed or something. I don't know.
All right.
It's a long time ago, though. It was a long time.
You sold him some weed and took the money and kept the weed?
I don't remember. I just said I didn't get even with him at that moment.
Oh.
But later on, I got some. I don't remember. I just told the story about going up there and saying about going.
So you just had to go wait outside?
When?
when your friend was with his lady friend.
He didn't. I just said, let's go. I had the keys. I was the one driving. I was, you know. So if he wanted to stay, he would have been in shit.
Were the ladies upset?
I kind of think they were.
They wanted a little action.
Well, we almost got to the room, and then I said, give me some money, and he threw ass. So,
I thought they collected it beforehand.
Well, as we were going in, we were walking from the parlor where we got off the couch, and we're going back to each of them room. We were following them, and I said, Steve, give me the money. I said, so I stopped right there, and I said, turn around, and I walked. I said, I'm sorry, lady. He reneged. Excuse me. How much
did that lady of the night cost?
I don't know. We didn't really get some prices.
Two bits.
I said, what does I don't know is mean?
Come on. I'm just razzing you, Jerry. I'm just razzing you.
Well.
It's all right.
You know, it is interesting that the way society has evolved, that they still haven't legalized that practice.
Yeah, I think they should tax the hell out of it.
Well, and they would.
Yeah.
Well, it's legal. It's illegal in a few counties of Nevada, but it's not legal in Clark County, which is Vegas. But they still goes on here. I mean, the bellman, they used to make some. I was going to be a bellman, and my chef said, "Maggie, I'm not going to let you." I was going to be number one for a promotion to go to the bellman because they built another tower at the Maxim I was working. So I put the bid in to go into it, and I was going to get it. And my chef comes, don't think you're going to get it, son of a bitch, because I ain't going to let you go.
Who are you talking about?
When I was going to be a bellman.
Oh.
Because you make good money as a bellman, and you also handle the girls for the people staying in the hotel. Hey, can you get me a gal? I'll have one right up for you, sir. And you make some. There's money made doing this shit, okay? Undercover. So you could make some tips, just like, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? It's undercover. You got to be cool and you got to have a system, but you can make some bank as a bellman, bringing girls in for customers that need to have some fun. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah, I think Thailand is famous for their nightlife, and then you've got Amsterdam is well known for that. Amsterdam,
they got their red light district. Sure, Amsterdam is. Mr. Rose, he's talked about that. Your buddy, Mario.
Mr. Rose talked about what?
He's talked about the red light district in Amsterdam.
I've never been to Amsterdam.
I'm telling you about your buddy, Mr. Rome, the host that you love, that he's talked about it and did shows about it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Difficult, dude.
What are you mad at me for?
I'm calling you Didi. Difficult, dude. Oh, lordy, lordy, look who's nodding. Anyway. Rabbit, he's going to take care of you next, he's going to take care of you next Monday, Rabbit.
Well, Mario, thank you so much for letting us get on here and, you know, advertise ourselves a little bit.
No, that'd be fine. It's my pleasure, because if I didn't do it, then I would have just had Jer Bear, you know, message me over Skype throughout the week and the night, just upset about everything, you know, and what have you.
I don't snivel. Snivels never prosper. Know who you are. I told you about that.
So Darren, are you going to have your own show, or are you just going to tag team with Jer?
I have no idea.
You should have your own show.
You know, when I was just out of high school, it was almost a dream of mine to be on the radio. You know, that was back years ago when you used to have DJs and you know, AM radio stations like WLS would have a disc jockey that was popular. And they play the hits. And I just loved radio, man. But nowadays, anybody can do it. But you got guys with YouTube channels, you know, and they can talk about current events or their hobbies or whatever it is. It's just a neat time to be alive, man, that we can do these kinds of things.
As you can imagine, now Jared turned his camera on, so it's gone on. The problem with YouTube is that Jerry, your hair is much grayer than the last time I saw you. The problem, the problem with YouTube, and you know this, Darren, is that they'll, you know, you'll get a strike if somebody doesn't like something that you say. But there are other options. You know, you got Rumble, you got other options. You can do things.
What they call it? What do they call it? It's now that the people that have shows, they got to go by the rules, but they make so much money by the algorithms, the more, and by subscribing to the shows.
Yeah, I mean, how many views is monetized? So how many views things get and all that stuff.
That's what it's monetized.
I think Crowder was on YouTube, but I think he hasn't been on there for a while. I don't know where he went.
Who? Crowder.
Steven Crowder. But anyway, back to Darren. When are you going to have your own show, Darren? I'm interested.
I don't even know how it works, Mario. I don't know.
He's learning from me. He used to call in with his phone. I got him to get his Skype. So.
But I don't know who you would talk to in the administration to try to secure a time slot or any of that kind of stuff. I don't know any of those details.
I'll work with you on that, Darren.
All you got to do, Darren, is go to revolution.radio, look at the schedule, and find an open slot on A or B. Then under the contact tab, I would just email the Mad Painter or Lady Horse. It's going to take you too long to explain it. I'm doing it right now. You're rolling a joint. Rolling a big fatty, Jer. We're talking about a man's entertainment here.
Who do you think has got more people on this show with their own shows? Jer.
I want to fact check that. Email the Mad Painter or Lady Horse. And then they'll end up just having, I think, with the host of YouTube. What do you want to say, Jer? I'm trying to help out Mr. Martin here, and you're giving the business.
I'm just saying, he's doing fine. I got him on Skype.
Maybe he wants his own show.
Haven't I not been training you?
Why are you limiting this man's ability? Why are you limiting his success?
But
you gotta let him fly. He's like a peacock, man. He's want to spread his wings. He's got to fly. You're holding him back, Jer. You're holding him back.
You reneged. You're full of shit.
No, I love you, Jer. I love you, man. You've been a great partner, man. Still a great partner.
I appreciate that. You know, I'm just saying, I just try to work with Darren. Darren was on a phone with me and coming along, and then toward the end of a long show, he just drops, and we try to figure that out, and then he got on Skype, and shit, look, now he's calling into your show now. That's a good thing. He's getting his beat, but you don't want to throw him out there just critical. Just gonna, he's doing fine, and
he'll do. He'll do fine. Throw him out there at the Wolves. He'll do fine.
I might sink like a stone, man.
You'll be fine.
I kind of guide him along, and I sound a little bossy when we do our show. And he goes, Jer,
you don't need to be bossy.
No, well, I may sound bossy, but I'm just doing it for his good.
You're rude.
Right, Dee? Remember you said, I said, I'm not trying to be bossy, but I'm just trying to guide you through. And I've taught a lot of people.
Why are you making us watch you smoke a joint? I don't, why?
What can I mind my business?
I don't, but you're making us watch your business. I don't want to watch you smoke a joint.
Well, then turn your eyes.
Turn my camera on and go take a shit. Do you want to watch that?
Yeah, I don't need to go in your room. I don't want to smell your snot.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, thank you, Mario. I didn't realize it was that that painless, man. To
really, if Jer would be quiet, so I could answer Darren's question.
Spiegel of smoke in my state.
All right, that's no. It's not that difficult. No, it's just when the host review team talks to you, as far as at least when I did it, just a conversation, you know. You fill out some form, you know, who you, what you want to be called, name of your show, sort of all that stuff. Maybe you send them a picture. Yeah, but that's how easy it is.
Wow. All right. I'll give this.
But you know what? You do you. I mean, you know, it's cool that you want to hang out with Jer. That's that might be, you know, that might be your niche. Because Jer, you know, Jer needs to be brought.
It's not necessarily my niche. It's just I like when he runs with me, and we carry on good. We're good. Chemistry.
That's what I'm saying. It might be your niche. It might be good to tag team with somebody instead of doing a show solo.
I'm going to be on forever. I might hit the road and croak tomorrow.
But you're not hitting the road. You're not going anywhere.
What's cool about this Skype venue is that share screen where you can tap like news stories and different things of interest that you can share with a potential audience, because we live in such a time. There's no shortage of things to talk about. And there are things that I find really important. I wish I could get out to other people, you know?
And, well, here's your chance. You got 9 minutes. What do you want to get out?
Well, just in terms of dialogue, I think we live in very precarious times, and that's putting it mildly. I think people need to be very circumspect and on their toes and very sharp these days, because there's a lot of half-truths and untruths that are just, we're just basking in. It sends us
down the rabbit holes, and we might think it's lies, and it's, you're right, it's hard to get, it's hard to follow exactly who's telling the right shit.
Yeah, it's a labyrinth, man. It's a maze. And you know, I for one don't want to dwell in fantasy. I want to have my feet on the ground. I want to be assured that I'm on solid ground in this turbulence that we're in, because things can change in an instant, and I don't want to be caught unawares, and I want those around me to have their bearings as well, you know, because I do care about other people. I don't, you know, like with the last few years with these shots, I mean, I got kicked off Facebook for being critical of the shots, being skeptical of the shots. And
I know we only got a few minutes, but what exactly did they try to say you did?
Oh, how did they put it? I violated community standards or something with my content, being critical of the shots. I thought it was a permanent ban that they put me back on. But I think it's so important. I mean, I know a woman I used to work with her. I love her. She's just a great lady. Her husband's dying from those shots right now. And that's a matter of fact. You know, his heart and kidneys and all his organs are failing. He can't breathe on his own. He was healthy before he took the shots, and now he's at death's doorstep. And
how old is he, Darren?
He's in his early 50s.
Oh, okay.
He had to take them for his job, you know.
Did she take the same back, the same job?
She didn't take it. No, she didn't take it. And I take some solace in that she didn't do it, but she didn't have to do it, and she was suspicious of it from the get-go. And
sometimes some of these people have had to take the jab because their jobs, they couldn't keep their jobs and they could have been making good. Another just, and you take the jab or you're hit the road. You know, they were, the way they handled, and still today in my community, to go to the doctor, I have to wear the mask. I said, why is this still happening? Nobody else has to wear the mask.
You have to still wear your mask when you go to the doctor?
They make you wear them in the doctor's office. I swear to God.
Oh.
In Vegas, I, you know, but anywhere else, there's nobody wearing masks. Well, there's still the ones, the goofiest ones that, you know, I see somebody driving down wearing their mask and alone in their car. But, you know, there's that many that's been into, psyched up into that mask system that still wear it. But nobody wears it in my stores or in the hardware stores.
Yeah, there's still probably a healthy segment of the population that still gets wrapped up in the let's politely say the misinformation of wearing diapers on your face. And like you, Jerry, I still see the occasional person driving in their car all by themselves with a mask on. And I think it's hilarious.
But I couldn't get away with it when it first came out, the mask in my Albertsons grocery store. But Bonds is affiliated with Albertsons. They're in cahoots. And up there in Mammoth, where Mechanic lives, is the Bonds stores. And he got away. He didn't wear his mask at all in there. And I guess he just got away with it. But there was times that they threatened me in there, get out. And then it kind of chilled out, you know what I'm saying? But when it was on, they were strict about 6 feet apart and all the fiberglass. All the plexiglass that somebody made some money on that plexiglass. It was everywhere.
Yeah, I remember going to my bank. They had the plexiglass in between me and the guy sitting behind the desk, and I thought it was the funniest thing.
Well, my bank, it's all plexiglass that's there permanent.
Oh.
But still wear the mask in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's Wells Fargo. It's the whole area where you walked up to the tellers from the, you know, the counter up is all thick pitch and fiberglass.
It's an absolute travesty. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this. This is a theater of the macabre. This is unreal.
It's not surprising when you push fear and you get people who claim to be experts on name your favorite acronym TV show, newscast, sorry, and they silence people like yourself, Darren, or others through name your favorite social media site that are just simply being critical of the information. Those folks are silenced. It's sad how quickly people resort to just, you know, following along.
I think that's what happened to Richie from Boston. That's why he got shit canned from YouTube, and I haven't looked him up lately, but he did. He taught me a lot about cruising around.
Yeah, he's on BitChute.
That's where he is.
Yeah.
I need to sign up for BitChute because
there's a guy on YouTube still that his take on geopolitics I find just simple to understand. Puts it in layman's terms, Garland Nixon. He spoke at the peace rally in D.C. this last weekend. Really good source for a take on geopolitics.
Garland what?
Garland Nixon. Yeah, he doesn't try to talk down to he speaks in layman's terms, but he's a very good speaker, a very gifted speaker. And he's taught me a lot just in the short time I've been listening to him. So there's still a few good content creators on YouTube, you know, but you do have to police yourself on there or they will get rid of you.
You know? I have a double top secret YouTube account that I like to troll people who are fans of David Politis.
So
he's a liar and I don't like him. And I'm not fond of him. And I think he makes stuff up to sell books. And
I'm just asking you though, the people you trolled, you send them messages how he's a phony? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I send them messages that then I invite them on to this program to have a conversation with me and they never get back to me. And if they do, they say no. So I don't got time for hashtag keyboard warriors.
How do you find them in his
what I just go to the comments and I just go to the comments and reply to
them. Okay, that's what I was thinking. Whether they're I follow you.
Yeah, I got no problem. All right, and you guys, that's the top of the hour music. I gotta go.
Good to meet you.
Thank you. Have a fabulous evening. Thanks. We'll do this again on Monday. And in the words of Katie Couric, good night, y'all.
Ace Game Donate. Don't forget about us. Revolution Radio. Ace Game Donate. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.